Welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm Donovan Beery, and I have my co-host here with me, Ben Luders.
Hello, everybody.
And we have brought together, here from the HAL Conference, kind of another impromptu show, Diana Valentine.
What's up?
And Jim Krabs.
Good morning.
And Jim is a man of action.
Yes,
we know
is.
This because conferences get crazy. Ben drops things out of pockets all the time.
I just lost my iPhone.
I find them for him.
And Diana found it, so that's great.
Ben loses his iPhone just minutes ago, and Jim comes in. We're like, where'd he go? He disappeared, and he just comes in with it.
That's what I do.
Oh, yeah, give Jim
out of nowhere.
As usual.
Well, thank you, guys.
Jim, what do you do besides being superhero iPhone finder?
Well, during working hours, or what are we talking here?
Just working hours first. We'll start with...
You write books, don't you?
I write books about graphic design and photography, and I've been doing that for 13 or 14 years, mostly for HAL Books, wonderful people. I'll put a plug in for them. And, yeah, that's my work day. I work on books.
What are some of the titles?
If you're at all familiar with me, you might be familiar with me through the Color Index books or through Idea Index, my first book. But a lot of designers have one or more of the Color Indexes on their shelves. I have them. I use them. A lot of designers do.
Awesome. I know what you're talking about. I don't have them, but I should.
And most recently, I should add, before I forget, the Logo Brainstorm book is my latest one. So I'm
brand new.
Just wanted to do a quick name drop. Yeah.
But there's only like one in existence or something? You said you had two yesterday and now I have one.
Exactly.
And you have one. I want to see this. Touch it.
Where do people, do they go get them just directly through HAL Books, or are they sold elsewhere? Where do you prefer people to buy your books?
Go to HAL Books. Look for them there. If they don't have them, the usual sources will. Barnes & Noble and Amazon, of course. But
you could always order through a local bookstore. It might be nice.
Ideally, yeah. Go by foot to your local bookstore and see if they have them.
That's the used bookstore. See if someone's getting rid of them.
I don't think
it exists.
No one ever gets rid of my books once they have
That's
them.
Awesome.
So.
Ooh. Got you.
Whoa. Well, did you guys see? I was at Chip Kidd's talk, and he was showing the cover of one of his books that had this. The funny thing was, he was telling the story about this book where the book cover is a man's hand and has six fingers on it. And it was actually photoshopped. Well, this lady finds it in the store and loves this book because she has six fingers, and she took a picture of the book next to her six-fingered hand, and she's like, I'm not alone.
Wow.
He's like, and sent it to him. But the part that really, really got him was that the book was marked 30% off. The bookstore, and that's all he took from it. So anyways, that never would happen to you, I'm sure.
Well, don't be so sure.
HAL Books, they run actually quite a few like huge promotions on books, so I'm sure. But I don't think they put a giant sticker on it when they do it. Even here in the bookstore, they're running everything 25% off, but there's no giant stickers.
You can't discount brilliance.
However, now that I hear that story, if that'll crush Chip, I think we should get some stickers and just put the 25% off on all of his books here in the store. Because they're running them for that anyway.
As a like public service.
Yeah.
So you have books for sale here?
Yes.
All right.
I have books for sale downstairs.
Awesome. But not the Logo book, because it's coming out when?
Soon. There's going to be an online, they do the online book release thing July 31st at the HAL website.
What is the Logo book? What was the idea behind creating this one?
Well, there's a lot of Logo books out there, and like I always do, I look at every one of them that I can find before I even start working on mine, because I want to do something different and hopefully better. And I definitely succeeded in doing something different, and hopefully it is better. My books are more brainstorming tools. They're not compilations of other people's work. They're more books like, hey, try this and try that, and have you thought about this, and what if you took this approach and blended it with that approach? So a person, ideally, working on a logo would brainstorm ideas kind of as they turn pages. They're not linear books. You don't read them start to finish like a novel. You just kind of go through them at random, collect ideas.
So you could just flip open and try something.
Ideally, yep.
Cool. And so to make this, did you have to interview a lot of other designers and kind of get there? Or is this kind of this is just your book from your own experience?
It's just my book from my own experience, but my own experience, of course, is affected greatly by...
Influenced by others.
Oh, massively. You know, I've been doing this for, you know, I mentioned in my session yesterday, I'm almost 50 years old, and I've been doing design since I was about 15, and I've got heroes from day one up till now, and it all influences
Who was your first hero?
Well, you know, I noticed Milton Glaser, like a lot of people, right off the bat, and his name just kept popping up, and I, you know, and first, in the early days, I loved illustration. So Robert Peek and Bernie Fuchs, these giants, and Mark Holland back in the day, and Marshall Ayersman coming up through the ranks. Those are like the old-timers that I used to worship, put their stuff up on my walls.
Mm. We'll talk more about your guys' little tag-teaming talk yesterday in a little bit. But one thing I wanted to say was I really liked how you're always reading, and you were kind of encouraging people to, you know, keeping those art history books and stuff. I have all these art history books that, like, at one time they were cracked open when I was cramming for college and stuff, but, like, you know, like Meg's big book on design and stuff, like, I feel like I need to dust that thing off and maybe even, like, read it, you know?
Definitely. I do the same thing. Mine collect dust most of the time.
And not just look at the pictures. That's usually what I would do.
Right. Or just look at the pictures.
Or just.
Yeah. That's the good thing about art books.
You
can just
look
at the pictures.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about the 30 and 60 presentation that you guys performed yesterday.
We did. We did it up.
Whose idea?
It's Jim's birthday tomorrow. I just want to throw that
in. Well, happy birthday.
Why, thank you.
Happy birthday. 12 hours.
50, right?
Yeah, 50.
Yay.
You don't look it.
Thank you.
You look like 33. Yeah,
for all of our radio listeners.
50 is nifty.
So I hear. I'm going to be one of those old guys that rock. You just watch.
You're going to be?
No. Yeah, at some point rock.
I'm working on it.
I couldn't believe, speaking of which, at your 30-60 presentation yesterday, I could not believe that motorcycle guy in the picture was you. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that. That sounds like, you know, you look like someone that couldn't do that. But well, I couldn't do that, so kudos to you.
Thank you. I never thought I would be doing that either. It's my second
childhood. Pretty awesome.
Who took the picture?
There's this brave photographer that takes pictures, and he had to lay on the ground with his head about an inch from the track to take that photograph.
Yeah, that's what you call brave photography.
Brave photography.
Good work
risked
on that
it all.
Title.
Or cuckoo.
Yeah. Would you do that, Diana? You do a lot of crazy stuff, but would you do that?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I did that at Palio, actually, in
What's
Italy.
Yeah.
It's this horse race inside of a palazzo in Italy, and it's hundreds of years old. And all the little areas of this town, Siena, they have these communities within the town, and they all have their special flags and whatever. And once a year in August, these horses come from, you know, all over, they've trained all over the country, and they race in this tiny little circle, just race the shit out of these horses.
And you were laying down
and
on
I was,
the track.
Well, there was, you can stand in the middle, which is a melee, or you can, like, buy $1 billion seats right around this plaza. And I, of course, went into the melee, and you can't move. So I shimmied down to the ground and snaked my way through legs and held my camera, which was a film camera, out, wrapped the strap around my arm and held it out into the track. And it's just, all you can see is just a spratter of sawdust. I didn't even get any good shots. But I fucking went for it.
Yeah, you sure did, didn't you?
All right, so the 30 and 60 presentation.
Yeah, what is this thing?
And this is... How come that wasn't in it, first off?
Because I'm a total idiot.
It would have been if that photo turned out, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
So the 30 and 60, you guys presented 30 ideas of staying creative, of keeping fresh, of
being
trying
awesome.
To do new things in 60 minutes. And you guys each presented 15. I really liked how, for people like me... who'd like to know exactly if this presentation is going to go over, if I have to bail on early, mm-hmm. they were numbered.
Right.
And you guys kept on time. I appreciate the high energy. I appreciate the speed, the efficiency.
That was a very, very fun talk.
And it was kind of like a boxing match in a way, but yeah, I knew you guys were kind of boxing for the same team.
Exactly.
Darcy came up with that idea. Let's put a plug in for Darcy Hendricks. Mm-hmm. She really rocked our intro, didn't she?
And Darcy Hendricks introduced you guys.
Right.
Did a fantastic
job. And in this corner, we have Diana.
Yeah. Totally came up with that. We were like, oh, right on. It worked. And she's fantastic.
And she's from Sydney, Nebraska. Just got to get that Nebraska plug in. Mm-hmm.
I don't know her web address. Would you guys put it in the post?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. We'll hook you guys
up. The big question, who came up with the idea?
Jim.
Yeah, I might have been the one that first mentioned it, but then...
You must claim it.
It was purely my idea.
There you go.
Diana didn't lift the finger.
I just rode along. I was along for the ride.
Well,
I just was there to look pretty. Somebody has to be pretty.
One of the things Diana is good with is when she hears a good idea, she makes sure that it happens.
Right.
So if you mention an idea to her like this, and she's like, that's good, then you're like, oh, I think I just committed to it.
Yep, I remember that happening.
One of the things that I thought really made it good, though, was that you guys are very different, and it was different some of the stuff you guys share. It was all creative, but your stuff was very practical stuff that, like, you've done and are doing, and it's not even... not necessarily everything that you presented everyone's going to go out and do necessarily, because it may not be exactly, but it definitely gets your juices flowing. And I loved, like, your commitment to some of the more analog forms of creativity, mm-hmm. like getting that art nook set up and right. getting some paintbrushes out and doing stuff that maybe you're not familiar with. And then I loved how you, Diana, really had a lot of more, like, conceptual things and things that make you
think, emotional, yeah.
you know, and I thought they played well together. And I don't know, like, if you guys really planned the order of them, but I thought some of them
Absolutely.
Followed each other really well
yeah.
and, like, kind of, you know, overlapped. And so I came away, I haven't reviewed my notes. I took great notes. I think. Well, actually, I took all these
notes.
I'll be
the judge of that.
Hey, I even wrote a post about it on Nina Blog's website. Otherwise, I wouldn't even remember that I was there. But I'm going to ask you both.
And we started out with a lot of ideas. I mean, we probably...
Yeah.
We didn't really count. But
did you collaborate on 60
and 60 next year.
Yeah. We did collaborate on each other's ideas. But I don't think
I... did notice kind of just a slight synergy where they kind of flowed together a little bit.
Yeah.
We worked on a few transitions, but...
Some of that was on purpose, and some of it was lucky.
Yeah.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you the same question. What was your favorite two-minute advice clip that the other person gave?
Oh, that's a good question.
I...
Want me to read them all?
You go first, Diana.
I think Nice Purse Buddy is my favorite one. Because I think it...
And can you explain what that is?
Nice Purse Buddy is, you know, carry in your bag a digital camera, a journal. Jim had in his bag a book of fiction. What else do you have in your bag?
My notepad, my camera, and my whatever book I'm reading.
Oh, so that was the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was some...
And lipstick.
And lip chapstick, yeah. Gloss?
Right.
Okay. And I think what I liked about it was that it was something intimate about Jim. He was sharing something about himself that also was immediately applicable. I'm big into that kind of disclosure.
I got to confess, when I was watching that...
you wanted to get a purse.
Well, no, I have purses, Donovan. Don't get me wrong. But I love my man
Coach.
Purses. But, you know, you said, you know, sketchbook, you know, the book you're reading... and a camera, and I was like, that's just like an iPhone, right? Because you can do all those things on your iPhone. But then as I started listening and hearing more about, like, you know, the different analog things to do and how that, and I just was remembering, like, no, it's different, you know? Just to be able to, you know, sketch on a real piece of paper, to take notes on a real piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
the freedom that you have there, and, like, a real book, you know? There's something, you know, Kindle can never really replace that,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know?
I love digital, you know, like mm-hmm. you do, and like we all do. We're digital people, but maybe it's because we're digital all day long for work. Mm-hmm. It's nice to go non-digital when you can. I read books, and I like to sketch, you know, with a pen and play around with analog once in a while, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So, what was your favorite one that Diana gave?
It's difficult to choose a favorite, and
you're just saying.
Well, which, I'm rolling my
which
eyes.
Which is the one that you personally connected with the most, maybe?
You know, every time Diana and I have run through this via Skype a few times before we performed it, like twice. We rehearsed it twice and then did it once.
And one time we were running through, we were just talking logistics, and I think we did one full pristine run through.
Right. I wouldn't call it pristine.
Pristine.
I would.
But I think yesterday, you know, you have the one about letting your freak flag fly. And
say that 10 times
yeah,
fast,
I don't think
right?
I could.
Dr. Seuss over here.
And I love Diana's reminders to people that just to shake things up. And that's a theme that runs through a lot of her points. And
love my life.
Right. And, you know, I love listening to that and being reminded, like, get up on the other side of the bed one day, do things different, shake things up, don't become stuck in ruts, that kind of thing. And I think it's that kind of points I should mention, like, one of the things that attracted me to working with Diana on this was I saw her at last year's HAL conference, and it's the first time I've seen so many, like, attendees go up to the presenter afterwards and start sobbing, you know, crying profusely.
Cry, huh?
She made people cry yesterday.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Yeah, she doesn't beat them, you know, verbally or anything.
Unless
they
ask nicely.
Right. Well, that's a whole other topic. But people get sincerely moved by Diana's exhortations to to get out there and do stuff.
No, I fully agree. Well, we're going to take one break, and when we come back, we're going to play a little past the question game, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about books.
Great.
All right, we are back. We are back with Diana and Jim. And we're going to play a little bit of Pass the Question gaming.
Nothing to see here.
Diana, you've been on this rule, on this game before. You've even done this earlier.
Off rule on game, yes.
Okay. Our last guest was Christopher Chapman, who's one of the creative guys at Disney, and he's fantastic. And so he was talking a lot about when he was a kid, you know, his big influence was his... his third or fifth grade?
Yeah,
teacher.
It was like his grade
Mine
school teacher.
Too.
Really?
And totally.
So he was saying that when he asks, you know, when people talk about who is influential to them and things like that, that what happens is they talk about, you know, career wise and who is influential. You know, so it's always like someone like that. But he wants to know pre high school, what was your biggest inspiration?
What was my biggest inspiration, or who inspired, like what role?
Or what?
Yeah, it was pretty open-ended.
Was there a person? Oh, it was open.
What was the inspiration you had? But it's got to be pre-high school. He wants to know something that...
What inspired you? What moved you? What made you be creative?
Well, when I was first listening to the story, I thought my fifth grade teacher also, Miss Muzilla. Miss Muzilla was... Miss Muzilla is fly. And apparently she still is. I haven't seen her in many years. But when I was in fifth grade, we had co-taught classes, so we had two teachers, but I was totally obsessed with Miss Muzilla because she was fashionable. She had like this awesome haircut, kind of uber frosted, but kind of sort of spiky and feathery, and I just thought she was the shit. And she'd wear these yummy just outfits that she really had thought about, and I hadn't really been thinking about fashion, but I really liked her. And I read ahead in the reading modules, and meaning that I signed this little card that said, yeah, I read 17 modules in like one day. I didn't even know how to cheat. You know, I was just such a bad liar. I was just like, yeah. I want to get to the good stuff. I want to go to the money shot of this reading module. And Miss Muzilla asked me to stay after school. And she said, Diana, I noticed that you apparently read 17 modules in one day in like the 20-minute reading period. How is that? How'd that happen? I was like, and, you know, I can't, like, it's Miss Muzilla, and she's calling me out. I said, well, I didn't read them. And she said, my point exactly. I said, but I'm a really good reader, and I read, you know, I'm good. And she said, here's the deal. You come talk to me about it. But what this is a sign of you're making a choice to be a con artist. And I was crushed. I mean, it was devastating. And just for her to think that I would even be thinking of that. And she said, I don't think you are. I think you're just at the precipice of going to the dark side, right? And so, I don't think she said dark side, but I do remember the phrase con artist. So in my life, Miss Muzilla.
And when you're in fifth grade, con artist is like the worst criminal imaginable because you're not thinking of like, you know, something else. You're just like, oh, my.
It's not romantic at all.
Oh, my.
You may not even really know what it is.
Oh, I knew what it was because remember, I was a really good reader.
Oh, that's true.
I knew this was a bad
character.
So
you might have known of worse things to be as well.
Yeah. It was an 8 out of 10, but it was still pretty gnarly, especially my idol is just, what? So anyway. That she follows me around and basically keeps me honest.
Wow.
Still, 43 years old. That's a big impact.
That is a huge impact.
So I'd say that's a giant. Yeah. Pre-high school
big one.
Impact.
I love it.
Kaboom.
Well, the same question to you, Jim. Who is your pre-high school?
Or what was the big inspiration, either or?
I'll give you two choices and you can pick. So I had a tie when I thought of it. The author Ray Bradbury, the science fiction author.
Mm-hmm. He just
rest in peace.
Right. And also another person you may not ever have.
Go ahead. What was there a book in particular?
Well, let's just go with Ray Bradbury then. Like all these books.
What did he write?
Well, he wrote the ones actually that were most important to me were his short stories, like the collections called R is for Rocket, S is for Space, and the Martian Chronicles. Hmm. And I mean, I reread them all within the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm crazy about them even now. And I read them as like that'd be, you know, from a sixth grader on up, and they just blew my mind. And, you know, he's science fiction, but with a real human touch. You know, how would people really be on Mars? You know, what would the deal be? So he, I think he had, reading his books just had a giant impact on me creatively, just kind of like, I want to think like that. Or I felt like I connected with the guy himself, you know. That was huge.
And what was the other event you were going to talk about?
The other person? Well, I'll make this one quick. There's this, I was into airplanes big time growing up, like a lot of young kids are. And there was a pilot pre-World War II named Douglas Botter, who was a show-off, and he crashed his airplane, and both his legs got crushed off, you know. And this is back before they had the bionics that they can put on nowadays. So I think he was maybe one of the first person, if not the first person in the world, to learn how to walk on leather and steel legs. You know, they said, well, use these, and you'll use crutches and everything. He's like, screw that, and I'm just going to walk on these things. And he had, you know, maybe half of one leg and a fourth of the other leg. So he would swing these things forward and lock the knees into place. And not only did he learn how to do that, he used a cane, and real tough British guy. But during World War II, he said, well, I want to get in the action. Like, don't sideline me, you know, because he was, you know, part of the effort back then. And he ended up flying the fighter planes, and he became like the leader of all pilots in Britain, mostly because he was just so tough and so personable and so no nonsense. And I loved reading his dialogue, the way he would talk to people. It's not Hollywood. He's just a really matter of fact guy and a problem solver. And I probably reread that book 4 times before I got to high school, and then a few more times afterwards. So my heroes.
That's some deep reading for someone in, like, you know, pre-high school.
What book was that? What was it captured in?
Reach for the Sky by Paul Brickhill is the best biography about him. And Douglas Botter, again, is his name. He died, I think, in the early 80s, but good reading, whether you're into airplanes or not. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I know we're short on time. So.
We got time.
Yeah. Well, read
just
the
Diana
book.
That doesn't have time.
Hey, got people to see and places to be.
No, well, Diana, when you mean people to see and such, you're actually running a video blog while here at the conference. Is that correct?
I'm actually doing a series of creative interviews for Nina Paper about why print matters.
What was the inspiration behind this? Because I was talking to some of the people from Nina yesterday, and they said that you actually pitched them the idea. How'd you think that let's do this?
Well, I'm really interested in the way people do work. I love collaboration. I'm a big fan of people who are passionate about their craft, and it's contagious to me. So when I started to come and speak at Howe 5 years ago, I was really introduced to a completely different population of people. I mean, I worked with a lot of creatives, but I really hadn't been behind the craft because I'm not a designer. So over the years, I met interesting people and really loved their stories and did a couple little just personal interviews because I love doing that. And when it came time for this Howe, I really had a strong feeling that, A, I wanted to do more interviews formally and get people's stories about behind the craft, you know, or behind the person. So a lot of times we hear stories about designers or artists or creatives, and we hear about the accomplishments and their agency and these bios that are sort of impersonal. And I wanted to get behind it. And as I got to know Jamie from Nina Paper just as a human last year or the year before, I started hearing more about Nina. I started hearing the way people react to paper and about the legacy that Nina has been creating over the years, about this just connection to craft and really supporting young designers and old designers and having a deeper conversation than buy my paper. And so when it came to Howe, I knew I wanted to do some interviews and curate some stories, and I thought it would be a really interesting starting point to look at the legacy of Nina and look behind this business. And so I thought maybe I'd interview Tom. Tom Wright for Nina. Maybe I'd just get a couple little stories. But then as we started talking about it a little, I thought, let's really find out what other people feel about print. You know, there's all this sort of controversy, digital print, and is print dead and all this
stuff. Well, that's right now. Jim, what do you think of print?
Well, naturally, I love print. And I also love digital. So, I mean, I know there's a place for both. I hope neither die anytime soon. And I don't think either are in danger of dying. I was one of the people Diana interviewed, and that was really fun to, because I actually went into that interview not having any idea what we were going to talk about. And she's like, well, let's talk about paper. And I, you know, gladly. The smell, the touch, the texture, the smell of a book, the smell of a printing press.
Sounds like you're the right guy to talk to.
Perfect. It was a perfect interview. It was fantastic.
How are these interviews going up? Where are these going to be housed?
Right.
What kind of format? Where can our viewers? I'm assuming a few will be up by the time this show goes live.
We actually haven't decided on the distribution yet. So we're working on that. I'm sure that it's very much, these are going to be abbreviated videos that we see some on the Against the Grain blog. I'm sure that's probably a very reasonable distribution point. But I think it might possibly, I'm wishful thinking here, I'm going to put it on a broadcast, that this becomes part of a bigger conversation. I think that would be really interesting. And maybe a little short film for Nina. I don't know.
She has been in contact with HBO.
Man, I gotta subscribe to him more. But Jim will never know. He destroyed his television like 30 years ago.
25 years ago.
That was one of my favorite. I've never had a television, and I think that's...
Isn't awesome. It the best? I saw you like nod when I mentioned that.
Wow, he's looking at me. I'm going
to pull it. I'm picturing Ben thinking like, wow, I could buy a television just to take a sledgehammer to it.
That's what I did for that slide
sequence. We do have an old TV down in the basement. We just have never hooked it up. I grew up never watching television except the evening news, so... Right. I just don't miss it. But you can also, you know, for shows or for, movies on your own timing, you can just get them on the internet.
I do. I do watch movies. And
then it's purposeful, though. Mm-hmm. It's not just grazing and tuning out.
Nope, I'm a terrible movie snob, but that's a whole other topic.
All right, next best movie that's come out
you're
in the last 5 years.
You got in one general.
And, I'll throw on Hot Tub Time Machine because I know that's number one.
Right.
What else?
Well, right behind Hot Tub Time Machine. I'm bad on the spot like this. I just thought that Terrence Malick's movie, the Tree of Life, was, there are parts of that some of the digital CGI maybe could have lived without, but just the gorgeousness of every moment of that
movie.
One
of my favorite trailers of all time. I haven't seen it, but I love
trailers.
I've
seen it. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
No kidding. I get chills just thinking
really
about it.
Really, what I do is I'm just asking you so I know what to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I've been watching, like, I just saw an old Roman Polanski movie called The Cul-de-Sac, and it was mind-blowing as far as dialogue and characters go, and a little bit of name-dropping. Dark, you've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson's favorite movie, he says, and which so you know it's perverted and it's dark.
Diana, what's yours? Or do you even watch movies?
Oh, I'm a movie whore.
Okay.
Movie snob, or is that right? And then movie whore.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I love movies. I really I enjoy movies for lots of different reasons. So I can say like Avengers was really not disappointing at all.
And
I totally enjoyed
it.
I like the music. I like the action. I like the way that ensemble played. And, whatever the other one was, it was like Excellent Marigold Something Hotel. Some of the most amazing fucking actors ever are all like hanging out and fucking rocking it,
That's the one
the relationships.
In India or whatever?
Yeah. It's Excellent Something Marigold Hotel.
Something
wonderful.
Like that. Yeah,
wonderful.
I haven't seen that. I saw a trailer.
Fantastic. So sometimes I watch for relationships. Sometimes I watch for art. Costumes. Hello.
They had a costume.
Dark Shadows.
They had a costume display in Omaha at the Durham Museum.
Oh,
they brought in so you could stand and actually see like Captain Jack Sparrow's.
And the layers. And
isn't that a cool thing?
He layered. I was like, that's got to be hot.
Right.
Basically anything Tilda Swinton and Sally Potter do together,
Tilda Swinton.
I'm there.
Fantastic.
I want to do things.
Well, we really appreciate your time. For all of our viewers out there, 36point.com, we appreciate you listening. Jim, it's great to talk to you.
Likewise.
Diana, thank you again.
Ben has something to add.
Well, they didn't give any questions for our next guest.
Oh, that's good. Do you have? We forget everything around here.
You
forget your iPhone, Diana. What do you want to ask Hatch?
I would love to know what the weirdest place they've ever designed from was.
The weirdest place.
The physical place that they were actually working and creating art or design.
So they just work in their office, or have they worked somewhere weird?
I assume they've worked somewhere weird. I want to know the weirdest.
All right, there you go.
Sounds great. We will ask him.
Good.
And you, Jim?
A question?
Yes.
Anything.
Paper or plastic?
Paper or plastic.
I love it. We like those kinds of weird, open-ended questions.
Love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.